We are privileged to be born at such a time as this, where God has decided to pour His Spirit upon all flesh. The Bible says in the book of Acts, or Joel from Acts, it says, Acts from Joel, it says, in the last day, said the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And I like it because there is no segregation. It's all flesh, whether you are a born servant, or whether you are a cleaner, whether you are a professor, whatever you are, God has not segregated. He says He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. You know, and even when I say your handmaidens, to make you know that, and your handmaidens will prophesy. So it makes you know that God is not segregating. So this gospel is for all, everybody. So let's go to the scriptures today. I want to say a few things here. And very, very interesting. The life of Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 57. The life of Jesus. See a few things. And how many of you practiced meditation as we taught last week, planting the seed of God's word night and day for an hour? Father, we give you thanks. Jesus said here, see, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. Follow His words. He says, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. What Jesus is saying is that I live by the Father by eating something of the Father. So He's telling you that the same way you want to live by me, you have to eat me the same way I eat the Father, so I live by Him. We'll explain. Just follow me slowly. I want to show you this is the secret of the life of Jesus. He says, the Father sent me, and I live in a certain way. The reason why you see the external manifestations of power in my life is because I am feeding on something. And if you, I am sending you now, and if you want to actually live by me, you have to be eating something the same way I ate something that resulted in the miraculous signs and wonders you saw in my life. So that is simple. That's what Jesus said. He says, the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that quickens. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Let's go to John 5:26. Let's see something there. I'll say a few things here. You see, we're in a company of people where nothing is impossible. See, we're a company of people who don't believe in impossibilities here. Not because of our might or our power, but because we're in contact with something and someone who created the universe. And we'll see something. You see, for as the Father had life in Himself, so He has given the Son to have life in Himself. There's something I saw here. This translation says, he that takes the Son into his own being, in like manner receives this principle of life from Him. So anybody that takes the Son, that means has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, has the same operation in his life. You see, God was telling me today that He tells the people that all things are possible. All things. All things are possible. But it will only show in the life of the man that receives that thing and believes it. And we'll show you practically how it works. We've been talking about the kingdom of God and how Jesus Christ came to express that kingdom on the earth. And how, through His life, we see by example how God and God's predisposition towards humanity is. And if you look at the life of Jesus, there was not one case where He turned back. There was not one case where He didn't have an answer. Look through the Bible, there's not one person that came to Him that did not get the desired result he desired. There's not one person that came to Him that said, look guy, come and go, then come back again. Even the woman that was a Syrophoenician widow who was not entitled to the promise, He gave her a lifeline. He told her that only the children eat the bread. He said, the crumbs are eaten by dogs, but you are a dog. So she saw, what Jesus gave her a lifeline. He wasn't driving her away. He gave her a lifeline. She saw in the spirit and saw even the dogs eat of the crumbs. So she took the word he gave her and turned it back to him. So nobody came to Jesus and didn't get an answer. So let's understand that nobody came to Jesus and didn't get an answer. Because we would have put theory. If the man that came with the son that was a lunatic, the disciples tried to cast him out, but they couldn't cast him. If Jesus did not perform the answer, God ensured that Jesus made contact with that boy and drove out that spirit. If not, would have said, there's one. Would have did a theology around it and said, he didn't cast him out. So what I'm trying to say is the fact that you did not get the answer does not make that the standard. The fact that people around you do not get the answer and the desired results from the kingdom of God, they don't see a manifestation, does not make that the standard, no matter who it is. The standard is Jesus Christ. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what conversation they're having in their private life. So that is why you always have to look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. Yes, you follow them who, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. So they inherited the promise. So you follow them, not the ones that inherit the promise. Let's understand that. So let's understand this, that God's word is infallible. God's word can never fail. And we're in contact with that word. And we'll see today how does that happen. Now let us see. We talked about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about that the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and it waxed great, and the fowls of the air lodged in, and the branches. How does, you know, practically now, okay, we're talking about this mighty God. So how do we actually come in contact with these things we've been talking about practically on a daily basis? How does a man come in contact with this thing, this life, and manifest it in his workplace? How does a man come in contact with this life and manifest it in his family? You know, how does a man, we should be tired of the disparity between what God says and what's happening in our lives. We should be tired and say, no, not enough. In fact, this enough. Let us, how does it transfer? We should be tired of the fact that God says this and we're experiencing the other thing around. We're experiencing the same thing that the people around us who don't have this life are experiencing. We should come to terms with it. And let me tell you, that's the starting point. That's where it starts from. That's where God begins to take you into the mysteries of the kingdom. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to sit down with yourself and say, okay, why I've been coming and going and coming and going for 20 years. Why is this thing not happening? That's where it starts from. That's where you sit down and be true and say, look, we've been confessing things, we've been doing things, so what is the problem? Then God begins to show you things, mighty things that you don't know. So let's understand that. The secret of fruitfulness. What's the secret of fruitfulness? Our destiny comes from God, but the outcome of our life depends on our choices. Our destiny comes from God, but the outcome of our life depends solely on our choices. Now, reading the scripture, when you begin to look at the scriptures, I got an interview from Apostle over the weekend, Akili Jakes. I began to see that whether what happens in your life depends more on you than it does on God currently, because the reason why is because God has done everything he can do for you. So whatever happens from now on depends on how and the choices you make regarding what God has done for you and has done in your life. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 30:19. He said, I have set before you today, Deuteronomy 30:19, life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. Make a choice. And make a choice. He said, here. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day. He said, God is standing here. He said, look, I have put the choices before you today, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, he's advising you. He didn't say, I will choose. He said, you choose as a man with a will, life, that both thou and thy seed believe. So it depends more on you than it does on God. The reason why is because God has gone the extra mile and has paid the price for you. So everything we are doing here in Christianity is receiving. He's not doing anything. If you have that mindset, you will understand that God is not, you are not waiting for God. You understand that. That's why faith is you know, you take it because you are not waiting. That's why today is the day of salvation. That's why God is not saying no. He says now is the day of salvation. You take it today and you have it today. So he's not saying go and come. God has said, I've given you all things already. So that mindset makes, I mean, it causes a shift in the way you relate to God. He's not saying that go and come. He's saying I have it now, and what I want my people to do is to receive everything that I've given for them, to them. Now let's begin to go into it. So how did Jesus live by the Father? How did he live by the Father? Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. We see there Jesus is advising us. He's showing us his pattern on how he lived by the Father. When Satan came to tempt him, Jesus answered and said unto him, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Remember, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eats me lives by me. So Jesus Christ is saying that I live how? By eating something that the Father has given to me. We saw, I won't go back to there. Everybody knows how to get a word from God. Everybody knows how to interact with God and receive the word from him. Because this is practical teaching. Everybody knows how to, if you have a situation in your life, everybody knows how to go, talk about it, go to God, Father, show me what you're written in the Bible concerning this. We know that. And he shows you a scripture. You have to hear an audible voice, but he shows you a scripture. In fact, what Jesus said was that you search the scriptures, which is important, the prerequisite for, in essence, a man that studies the Bible a lot, a man that does lots of reading of the Bible, when he has a situation in his life, he has more reserves for the Holy Ghost to quicken that word that will fit the situation. So that's why we study the word. So Jesus is saying now, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life. So the reading of the Bible is not enough. That's what I'm trying to say. The reading of the searching of the scripture is just the foundation, the raw material. He said, you think in them you have life. So when you come in contact with the situation, you think by the knowledge, the mental knowledge of the scriptures, that will cause a manifestation. No. He said, but you will not come to me. He said, you come to me that I might give you the life that is contained in that scripture. Basically, you're taking the letter. He said, you come to me that I might cause the letter of the scriptures to become life in your situation. So that's the foundation. So you understand how to come to God. Okay, gather all the scriptures you know regarding that thing and come to him. Say, Lord, open my eyes. And he shows you what he's written concerning it. And what happened there? You take that thing. That's what we're talking about. So he says, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is the specific word that God gives you for that situation. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is a specific word that God gives you for that situation. So that's what he says. He says, so that is what I live by. I do not live by anything else but the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So let's analyze our lives. So what is the motivation and what is the driving force for every area of our life? What is the driving force for our family? What is the motivation? What are we standing on? What's the motivation and driving force for our family? What are we standing on? This is quite important. What's the motivation or driving force for our finances? What are we standing on? I was reading the scriptures yesterday. God said, something popped up on my phone and I did something. God said, you see, if you continue at this rate, right, and you don't go to my word in this area, that when the storms come, you'll be found naked. So he said, repent and turn around now. I'm telling you that. He says, there are alternatives on the earth. Let me tell you this. There are always alternatives on the earth. We're talking about God saying, there's a time where they are acceptable. There's a time where he gives you time to correct certain things. But God is saying that he wants to be your only and total source. That means, let me give an example. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with something like going to the hospital. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, but God is saying, I want you to come to a point where you make me the first point of call. For example, if I have a financial issue, rather than taking a loan first, rather than my mind going bank, 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 loan, 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 why don't you make me the first point of call? You can go ahead and take your loan, but he's saying that mindset where I am the only source. I don't want to share my glory with anyone. I'm your Lord and I'm your Savior. I don't want you to bow to any other system but me. You understand? Rather than running first to a counselor,
Why don't you come to me first and say, Lord, show me? But thank God for counselors who know the Lord, that they will direct you back to where the Lord is, what the Lord is saying. So he said, I want to be your only son. I don't want any man to take that place. I want to be the man that rides on the donkey, you. Because if men ride on you, God doesn't have any place. If you're in a place where men are in control, God, you're taking God out. So God is saying, I want to have that place in your life as a person. Not even your pastor, nobody should have that place. Even if you're in a marriage, you see, your husband does not have the place of God. It's an institution where each person is submitted to God, and in that place, God is the one that has the preeminence. Let's understand that. So let's understand this. He will not share his glory with anyone. Let's understand that. Let's begin to organize our lives like that. Okay, so he says he lives by the Father, and it is the word that is quickened. It's not difficult. The word that is quickened, the word that ministers to you personally. For example, a guy was trying to start a business, and a word ministered to him. He says, after these things the Gentiles seek. So he now says, okay, God, what does this mean? He says, God, open a clothes business. That's how simple it is. So the word came to him that the Gentiles seek for things they wear. So it came to his heart that the business I should open is a clothes business. So he opened a clothes business and he prospered. So that is what I'm talking about. So the word that God gives to you, that you take into that place and you begin to feed on it. Now, when you see Jesus likened it to bread, we're going to be very basic here. When you have bread, what's the role of bread really? What do you do with bread? It's to eat. It's not to display. It's not to begin to share revelation. No. The essence of the word God gives you is not to begin to share revelation that God has. No, no, no. The essence is for you to eat. The essence, the reason why he put the food there is for you to eat it. It's not for you to, oh, of course, when you see the bread, you're happy. Ah, rejoice at it. Ah, I love this bread, you know. Those of you that like rice, they will rejoice. Ah, this rice, it's like you'll be watering. You must be watering when you even see the food, how good it is. You know, sometimes. So, that's not the essence of it. But if you, no matter how nice and the bread looks, no matter how fresh it is, you know, some people say divine bread. No matter how palatable it looks, if you do not sit down and begin to feed on it, I mean, it doesn't do any, you have no benefit from it. As I said, the word preached did not profit them because they admired it. They said, pastor preached a wonderful sermon. So, oh, I saw the revelation, but they didn't sit down and eat it. So it was no use to them. There was no advantage in their lives. I want you to understand this. There was no advantage. That's why people can be in this thing and interact with this so-called word of God, and there is no advantage or profit. See, you can make profit without the word. Are people not, they are making profit. Let's understand this. So there's a difference. Let's understand. So the essence of the word is for you to sit down and feed on it. It's for you to sit down and feed on it. So you take the bread and you begin to eat. Let's go to a few scriptures and see some things. Let's go to the book of Job Psalm 119 verse 11. It's just going to be a basic teaching today to direct us back. Psalm 119 verse 11. Right. So, that's the scripture there. You cannot, what I'm trying to say here, that you cannot do anything on your own. You cannot live above self, above sin. You cannot prosper financially on your own. And the God way. The way you do it is through the word. If God wants to accomplish anything in your life, first of all, he sends his word. That's the first thing he does. Before and through the word, everything begins to happen. So the essence of this scripture, and I says, what do you do with the word? You first of all, you hide that word in your heart. That's your role. Your role is not to be fighting against the sin. Your role is not to be fighting against or trying to produce results by yourself. Your only role and the most tedious job on earth, I'm telling you this, is to take that word and hide it in your heart. That is why the parable of the sower is the mother of all parables, because it talks about the process of how you take the word and hide it in your heart and bury it there. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 13 verse 19. Let's read the parable of the sower. So, a man wants to manifest the kingdom of God. He's going through a challenge that is sort of hindering his life. He's desiring something. You know, the desire is not enough. Desire is a starting point, but it's not enough. No matter how strong you desire. So, God was saying that people substitute that desire for actually contact with the world. No matter how strongly you want something, it's a starting point, but it's not enough. You know, you need the word of God to bring that thing to pass in your life. So you direct that desire even into the word. So it says, anyone that hears the words of the kingdom, that's where it starts from, and understanding not. See, what Satan is after, that word taking root in a man's heart. So then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, that this is he who received the seed by the wayside. Go to the next one. He that received the seed in the stony places, he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. He now said, yet he had no root in himself, but endured for a while. Then persecution came because of the word. So everything the enemy is trying to do is to distract you from the word. Let me tell you. Go to the next one. I will show you something here. He that receives the word among sons, he hears the word, and cares of this world, and deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he became unfruitful. That means the word produced certain results. But when he started seeing and enjoying the benefits of the word, he went away from the word. The hours of work prevented him from going to the word. The things the prophet the word brought in his life, the children that were born as a product of the word became a distraction. So he wasn't giving the word time again. So they choked the word and the fruitfulness ceased. So let's understand that. So everything, I want us to go back to that mindset, is about the word of God. And what we have to do with the word of God when it comes. Let's go to Job chapter 22, verse 22. Very simple. Very simple. I'm sure all of us have a word from God. And I'll say a few things here while you keep your place there. If you stop this process we are going to talk about on the word of God, the manifestations of God's light cease in your life. If you stop this process, you begin to drown. If you stop giving attention to the word, it says the kingdom of God is as if a man cast seed into the ground. And what happened? No, the kingdom of God is as if a man found treasure in a field. And what did he do? He hid, first of all, then he sold everything he had to buy that field. So what God is saying is that you have to sort of sell everything you have to focus on that light, because that light is your treasure. He says, we have this treasure, this knowledge, this thing he has showed me in earthen vessels, because that is what results in the excellency and the power of God. He says, so I receive, I pray thee, the love from his mouth. So you find it, and lay up his words in thine heart. So that is the next step. It says, lay up his words in thy heart. And how do we practically do it? I'm talking about how you feed, how Jesus lived by the Father. That's what I'm teaching today. How do you feed on it? And we'll see there from Jeremiah 15:16. Let's go there. Jeremiah 15:16. So he found the word. And what happened next? So the words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Let's look at a few scriptures and I will tie them together. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Let's understand this. We are going into some regions now where, but thou son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be thou not rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give you. When I looked, behold, an hand was sent to me, and a roll of a book was there. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. It says, open your mouth wide and eat what I give you. See, this is the reason why the enemies are not subdued. We'll see. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat what you find. He says, when you have found that word, eat this roll. Then when you have eaten it, go and speak unto the house of Israel. The problem is that people are speaking without eating the roll. Let's go to the next one. Next verse. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. So we can see here that the way you eat and feed is through the organ of your mouth. Let's go to the next verse. He says, and so he said, Son of man, eat it till your belly is full. And when it is full, he says, it was as honey and sweetness to my mouth. Next verse. And he says, now, next verse. And he said unto me, go there, get to the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. So it's like, almost like, God showed me, like a trigger. You take a gun, you load it with bullets. When you've loaded it with bullets, then you now shoot that gun and you destroy the opposition on the outside. The problem is that people are trying to destroy the opposition on the outside without loading the gun with bullets. That's the problem. So that's the essence of it. So the word of God is meant to be fed on. See, it's not meant to be shared. And what I mean, David said in Psalm 119, he says, no, it's Job that said it, Job 23:12, he says that thy word I've esteemed above my necessary food. So what God showed me was, look, you are a spirit, you have a soul and live in a body. He said, you are giving your body more priority than my word. I said, how? He said, how many times do you eat a day? I said, okay, 2 times. Sometimes 3 times. Sometimes I say, how many times do you sit down? You read the Bible, fine, and it's my word that I gave you. I said, I do it. But is there a structural pattern to it? I said, I'm not sure, Lord. So he said, why don't you, each time you want to eat food, why don't you take my word that I've given you and sit down for about 10 minutes, planning with the time you eat your food. And begin to feed on it. I'll show you what it means to feed on it. Feed on it, then when you finish feeding on it, then go and eat your earthly food. If the life of God, the word of God, is the food of the spirit man, it means that if you don't feed on it, your spirit will be weak and emaciated. Yes. That's what it means. So, you don't. That's where strength comes from. Like, naturally, when you eat that bread that I talked about, what happens, you eat it, you put it in your mouth, and you chew it, it goes through the digestive process, and it is broken down, and when it is broken down, the nutrients, the carbohydrates, the sugars are distributed to your body in usable forms. The word of God will not get usable forms except you go through this process. That's what I'm trying to say. It won't be broken down by the Holy Ghost into a usable form means direct instruction. That's what usable form is. So people have the word hanging over their head, but they haven't received direct instruction. That's what I'm talking about. They can quote the scriptures, but it has been broken down by the Spirit into a place where they will take an action or do something in the prophetic. That's what I'm saying. So let's understand that. So they see my word above my necessary food. So it says, sit down and begin to eat. So what is this process of actually eating on the word? Let's go to Psalm 81:8. Let me show you that. 81:8. This message is not going to be long at all because it's an instructional message. Psalm 81:8. Let's see that. God is saying that, look, he said, I have given these people everything I have. I've given them my word. I've given them the Holy Ghost. And I say, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if you will hear what I am saying to you. Go to the next verse. It says, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange. What God is saying here is that people have left the seat of where the power is and have bowed down to man-made systems as their only source. God is saying, no, that this is not what I intended from the beginning. Go to the next verse. It says, God was he says, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. He said, this is what I require of you. Remember the other scripture says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Go to the next verse. He said, but my people will not hearken to my voice, as an Israel will none of me. He says, open your mouth wide. He said, the secret of manifestation, the only way you will not bow in future to systems and pressure is by this process. The only way, see, you will bow. Don't think you have willpower. You will bow if they put enough pressure on you. You will, see, people are accusing people of embezzling money. I said, they put you there. When you see the money and emotions begin to move, you will know that it is not just by might and power. You will know that when people are put under serious pressure, they will bow. The only thing that can give you that resistance is the word of God. That's what I'm trying to say. So let's understand, it is because we trust too much in our own power. That's why we don't see. If you haven't eaten for 5 days, won't you go and look for food? If you haven't eaten for days, you look for food. God is saying that we should give the word that place, because the times are coming, the times are coming where, when the pressure is applied, when the pressure is applied, if you don't have this substance inside you, you will bow. You will bow. You say, Lord, okay, have mercy. Well, God is merciful. You will bow. So he's saying that, what should we do? How should we feed on this thing? God showed me, he said, look, he said, if you take your eyes off it, you begin to sink. And the reason why you are sinking is not because of the strength of your position. The reason why you are sinking is because you're taking your focus off it. The storms and the winds were there when Peter initially walked on water. They were there. It was when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wave, that's when he began to sink. So he was saying, it's not the strength of the, it's not the challenge on the outside that is the problem. It's because the people have not hearkened to my voice and they have not opened their mouths so that I will feel it. That's what he said. So how do we now, practically, how do we begin to feed on this word, this substance? How do we begin to feed? It's simple. It's in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I think it is. That's what the secret is. There is no. He says, take the word, the seed, and it's easier when there's no pressure. Because if there is pressure, imagine trying to plant seed in a land that is flooded. It's difficult. It's easier when there's no pressure. So the wise man, like the ant, begin to plant or seed when he needs it. I mean, when he doesn't need it, begins to take the word concerning his family. Say, Lord, what is your plan for my family in these times? God shows him. He takes the scripture and begins to feed on it. Lord, what's your plan for my health at this time? He takes the scripture and begins to feed on it. What's the plan, Lord, for my mind, the state of my mind at this time? You take it. What's the plan for my finances, for my business? You take it. I'm in a secure job now, but what's the plan for my finances? God is shielding you. He says, he's giving you time for you to take the word and begin to feed on it. So he begins to feed on those things. He takes the seed and plants it into his garden. He takes the seed, which is God's word, and plants it. When I say God's word, it means the scriptures that are revealed to you. He takes the seed. He doesn't have to even need it now. He's a wise man. He's like the ant. He's sowing the thing. He's taking time. He sits down in his house. He begins to plant those things. He takes the scriptures, plants those things in his heart. And a time will come when you require it. Because the storms will come. And when you want to plant in the time of storm, it's difficult. It's not easy to plant in the time of storm. See, it is a Herculean task. You are pushing against gravity, basically. Sometimes when you are pushing against, you will require force. You require force because sometimes this work might be too late to start. God might say, okay, it's better for you to come home. There's no time. So let's understand this. So my son, attend to my word. This is the perfect law of breakthrough. We don't know any other way. We don't have any other path. This is how it is. And God was saying that people are praying a lot, but they're not praying the scriptures. He said praying a lot is good to pray, but he said they're not praying the word, because the word is just like, he said it's just like you, the digestive process being there, working, and there's no food for you to digest. You understand? So people are not praying the word. So the word is the center of it all. The word produces joy. The word produces righteousness. The word produces peace. The word produces everything you desire. It says, in the beginning, everything was made by the word of God. And the word of God is what sustains everything. So the word of God is what will produce all things for you. And the Holy Ghost is here to reveal that word to us. So it says, this is how you do it, basically, practically. It says, my son, attend to my words. When you are in the military and they say attention, it means you stand at attention. You don't move, they say at ease. You stand at attention, you're not moving anywhere in the military. That means you stay with the word at attention. Now, if you stay with it, you attend to it, or you go to a restaurant and the waiter is waiting on your call. He's standing there waiting for you. Everything you say, he does it. So he says, attend. That means stay at attention. He said, look, in my look fully, he said, look, guys, he said, I've told you guys, your strength is to sit still. He said, but you don't understand this because of the make of human beings. He said, we'll run upon horses. We'll jump upon chariots. We'll try and accelerate the process. I said, no, I've told you guys. He says, the Egyptians will help in vain. He says, me, I've told you, your strength is to stand at attention and sit still and take the word. Now, he says, now, when you stand still. So, he says, attend to my words. Attend to my words. And I'm using the parable of the sower as well to explain this. Attend to my words. Stand at attention. Be diligent with my word. Now, if you remember the parable of the sower in Isaiah chapter 5, let's go there quickly. I just want to show you something. When you are building a vineyard or you buy a piece of land, the first thing you do is you fence it round. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 1, I think it is. Isaiah 5 1. You fence it round. See, I'll sing a song to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. The hill was fruitful, but there are certain things that needed to be done for that fruitfulness to come forth. Go to the next verse, please. See, and he fenced it. So that's the first thing he did. So he says, stand at attention, that put that fence. And what is that fence? That fence is called diligence. That fence is called diligence. So you fence it round. He says, guard your heart with all diligence. So it is that coming in and doing it daily. Because if you stop guarding your heart, if you stop being diligent about it, you begin to sink. If you stop being diligent about it, the enemy comes to sow tears. So he says, that diligence, that waking up, even if it's half an hour a day, it's better to do half an hour a day than to wait for 5 days, do half an hour, wait for another 5 days, do 1 hour, It's good to be diligent, facing it daily, do that practice daily. Bishop Williams said something. He said, if you 3 days without prayer, you can lose the whole inheritance that God has given you. 3 days. But we go to work every day. We wake up and we brush our teeth every day. Wake up and we have our bath every day. We do it diligently. We do it diligently. So he says, the diligence is the fence around your heart. He says, guard your heart with something called diligence. So it's a daily practice. It's a daily practice. Because when men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. Because it's after that word. He said, when they sowed the word, the enemy came by force and took it out. By force. By force. So we're in an army. And the substance with which we fight with is the word. The armor of God is a product of the word. The gospel of peace is the word. The helmet of salvation is the word. The shield of faith is the word. Everything is. So the enemy is after that thing. It's after your time with the word. I was happy when someone called me and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm in the car, I'm reading the word. I said, very good. He said, I can't play with it. He said, I have a pattern, I'm reading the word. I said, what are you doing? He said, I missed yesterday. I'm staying in my car. I'm reading the word because I know that as soon as I start reading it, the distractions here, he's trying to get your focus off that word. That's the source of your life. That's the source of your power. That's the source of your strength. So let's see that. So he did that. He fenced it. Let's go back to Proverbs. Sorry. We're going to do this. He fenced it round with diligence. He paid attention to it. He looked at it. He paid attention to it. Then what did he do next? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. It says, incline your ear unto my sayings. Incline your ear unto my sayings. So God has said it to you. He has showed you the word. How do you incline your ear unto his sayings? You incline your ear by saying simply what he has said to you. How do you incline your ear? God has said it to you. He has showed it to you. He wants you to say it so that you will hear it. So incline your ear. Keep on hearing it. Keep on hearing it. What I have said to you. Keep on hearing it. Incline your ear. Keep on hearing it. keep on hearing it. He says that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have heard, which we have looked upon. So keep on hearing it. Keep on hearing it. How do you hear? You sit down in your house. He says that sons of strangers shall build my walls. You sit down in your house. The scriptures, you say, Father, I give you thanks for the word you've given unto me. Thank you, Lord, for sons of strangers shall build my walls. Father, I thank you because sons of strangers shall build my walls and their kings shall minister unto me. You are hearing it. You are saying it to yourself. And it says, let them not depart from your eyes. So the word of God, you are reading it. In fact, what it means really is that you are reading it loud to yourself. That's what it means. So you are not in my... See, let me tell you something. See, when you do this, don't do it... Let me give you an example. Kenneth Copeland had an illness in his body, common cold. He was confessing the healing scriptures. He was meditating on the healing scriptures. He said, but there's something wrong here. It doesn't take time. It doesn't take this long. Death cannot stay in my body for this long. What's the problem? God said, look, you're not obeying the second part of it. He says, you're just quoting the scriptures, but you're not beholding it. It's like thinking about the bread and not eating it. It's like, oh, the bread is nice, but you're not eating it. It says, you look at it and you mutter it yourself. You say it and you see it. You are looking at it. You are reading it loud to yourself. That's what the process is. You are reading it loud to yourself. And when you don't have access to it, you can mutter it. But the real feeding is when you sit down with it and you are looking at it and you are reading it loud to yourself. You say it over to yourself. You repeat it to yourself. That's how you feed in the spirit. That's how you feed on this thing. You sit down in your room. You close the door and you begin to feed on it. You say, sons of strangers shall build my wall. You are reading it loud. And their kings shall minister unto me. You are saying the Holy Ghost is there. This is how you feed. See, this is how you eat spiritual food. This is how you feed on the life. When Jesus came, he says, look, he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He said, I have sat down with Isaiah 61 and I have been feeding on it. I have been feeding on it until a point came. There's something that's triggered inside me. It's called joy unspeakable, full of glory. I know this scripture has. He said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears without any external manifestation. That's what you feed. That's why this is the source of life, bro. This is how it happens. So he began to feed on it. He began to feed on it. He began to feed on it. And when he fed on it, what happened? The thing, he put it in his eyes and he kept on hearing it. And what happens is that it enters into his heart. The problem, God said, is laziness. He told me it's laziness. He said, the slothful man has food prepared for him and he cannot put his hand and put it in his mouth. I've been there. Because I know the scriptures, I'll be quoting it from my mind. Say, what? It says laziness. You can't sit down with it. Hagin could quote the whole New Testament. He said, God told him, go back. When every fresh challenge, he goes back to the Bible. He will look at the scriptures again. He will look at it again from the beginning and meditate on it. He said, you are thinking of it mentally, you know it mentally, but you have to go back every time and look at it. And look at it every day. That's the practice. He says, you do that and it gets into your heart. The gateway to your heart is your eyes and your ears. And that, what happens is, as you're doing that, your prayer is, Lord, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, open my eyes. As you're doing that, you begin to see things as you're doing that. And when you see those things, you declare those things you see. And you go and act what he has shown you. And what happens is that thing becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And anytime you do that, something begins to well up inside you. Joy and gladness begins to well up inside you as you're looking at that thing. You begin to have expressions of joy that you cannot find anywhere else. Expressions of joy. It's almost like that joy. When it says joy unspeakable, full of glory. As you do that, it begins to grow and you begin to have expressions of joy. A time will come where everything on the outside becomes inconsequential. Everything becomes, it fades away. It doesn't even matter. But when you know that when this thing on the outside still affects you, you're not there yet. So understand this. Hagin said, if the picture is not clear and not the dominant force in your mind, you're not there yet. Don't deceive yourself. Go back there. Go back to the word and stay there with it. With the Holy Ghost beside you, begin to mutter it and meditate on it. Giving God thanks, begin to mutter it and meditate on it. And until that thing begins to grow up, it says, your words were found, I ate it, and it became joy. Because once that joy is full, it is joy that triggers the manifestation. It is joy that you can imagine. It's a praise that when you begin to rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, he says, receive in the end of your faith the salvation of your soul. That's when the instruction comes. That's the final seal of that thing. Then the project is over, we're moving to the next project. It's joy that brings it out. He says, let the people praise thee, so shall the earth yield her increase. But you have to sit with it. It begins to grow inside you. So you don't know how the babies grow in the womb, but you have to sit inside the Holy Ghost. See, the process of meditation is your responsibility. The Holy Ghost responsibility will take what you're meditating on and convert it into usable forms. But if you do not meditate, how will it convert? Here's the secret. Jesus says, I live by the Father. This is how it is. So you should live by me. This is how you break yourself free from human control. Then you break yourself free from control of the system. Say, what are you saying? Give me time. I want to go and feed on certain things. I want to go, tell them to give you time. That don't worry. This is what you're going to do. Okay, give me time. I'm going to feed on certain things. And when I feed on them, something will happen inside me. When I come out, there will be a different reaction. That's why he says in Isaiah 55. Let's go there. And before we go there, let's go. I want to show you two scriptures. See, God is committed to that word. When he speaks it, he says, my word will not return void. When he gives you, he shows you something, he's committed to it. He will stay with that thing because behind it is the oath of his kingdom. Behind it is the oath. So if he does not fulfill it, if you fulfill the condition, it's impossible for you not to fulfill it. It says, with the realm of God, nothing shall be. No word of God is void of power. So if he gives you that word, he shows you. It's not a man. A man can promise you. A wealthy man can come here and say, I want to give you, Sister Amma, £1,000. And he means it, and you're happy because you know his track record. But he can go out there and they come and hit him. But God cannot, there's no limitation. So God's word, once he releases it, it's impossible. He says, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. He cannot return void. Anywhere the word goes and someone embraces it with the presence of meditation, it's impossible. See, listen, it is impossible for you to fail. Now let me show you this. Jeremiah 1:12. Let's go back to this discipline. The people of the world are using meditation on things that are, and they're producing results. We that have the substance that created all things. Jeremiah 1:12. It says, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well. I will hasten my word to perform. You have the American, I think American standard. Well, it says, I will watch over my word to perform it. That's one translation says that. So, what he's watching over is not you, is not your eloquence, is not your, you can be shouting all over the place. It is the word he's watching over to perform. I want you to understand that it is the word he's watching over to perform. That's the only thing. He's not obligated. He's no respecter of anybody. It is the word, anywhere he sees that word that is being processed, through that process, is watching. As it comes out of his mouth, he's looking. Okay, the word has gone out. That guy's received it. He's meditating. Okay, let's watch it. Let's watch it. It's the word he's looking at. It's not looking at you. It's the word he's looking at to perform it. Let's go to the book of Genesis 28:15. I'll show you this. Genesis 28:15. When I saw the scripture, I said, okay. Genesis 28:15. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken unto you. Mm-hmm. He said he will not leave you. He will never leave you. He will, until that thing is fulfilled. It's as though his whole throne, that oath, is behind that word he has given you. That's why he told Mary, he said, look, nothing shall be impossible with this word. Once I've given it to you, I've promised you as a person, he says, I will not leave you. That means you are my I'm going to hold you because you are my I'm at stake here. My word is at stake here. So you receive that word, we're together now. So anywhere you're going, the word is there, I'm following you. Say, I will hold you until I have performed it. So your work is to hold that thing, you hold fast to it, while he's holding you, that thing must work. So God is obligated to that word. He says, I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken unto you. He will stay with you though. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never give up on you. So that's what God said. Look, so I give my people a lifeline. When in any situation, I throw them the word. And what they should do is to grab the word with their hands. He says, you hold fast to that word. That word, I am standing on one side, and God is standing on that side. Jesus says, what I do is that I give them my word, and I'm holding the rope there, and I'm holding the rope on the other side. So what they should do, you cannot hold the rope and be moving one hand. No, no. He said, you hold fast to that word with your both hands. Everything, your full attention, as you're going one step at a time, you have meditated on it daily. It's pulling you closer. It's pulling you closer until the point where you come in contact with Jesus. The living word, the written word takes you to the living word. And when you make contact with him, that's the point of joy unspeakable, full of glory. There's nobody that came in contact with Jesus and not receiving manifestation. He says, take that word. He said, no, it's leading you to me. Just keep on holding it. Every day, one step at a time. Morning by morning is wakening your ear to hear as the land. Every day you are doing that, you are, imagine yourself, you are going without rope. How can you hold the rope with one hand and you're holding other things with the other hand? You will fall down now. You, as you're pulling, you can't even have enough strength to pull that thing. But Jesus is holding it there with one hand. So hold fast. That's my connection to you. The word is the connection. Peter knew the connection was the word. He was looking at Jesus. When he took his eyes off the connection, there was no more connection with Jesus. That's what brings you to fellowship with him. The Holy Ghost is whispering to you as you're going on that journey. He said, no, use your hand that way. Put it this way. The Holy Ghost is telling you, directing you. He's showing you how. So once you receive that word, you have entered into the fellowship of the Spirit. He begins to direct you. You are in a supernatural realm. You are living in a different realm. A time will come, you'll be going to work and going to other things, but as though you are living in a different place. You can't wait to get back home and look again. It becomes, you start enjoying that fellowship of the Spirit. Higgins said, look. He said, I was dying. I saw myself dead to the point. You know, the enemy uses thoughts to bombard your mind. And you cannot fight him with thoughts. What you have to fight him is words. And that word, the word of God, it is written. So, he said, I was dying. I saw myself, the enemy bombarded my mind to the point where I saw myself in the coffin. I saw myself being wheeled to be buried. I saw the songs. I saw myself there, lying there. I saw myself dead. God said to me, he said, look, young man, if you don't reverse this, that will be the cause of the event. He said, I looked down under my bed. I got the Bible again. Remember the story I read last 2 weeks ago? The woman said, I was going. Nothing had taken over me. But I got that Bible again. He said, I got my grandmother's Bible on the bed, under the bed. And I opened it again to Mark 11:23. He said, I began to look at it again. I began to mutter it to myself. He said, sometimes all night I will mutter it to myself. He said, what happened? After the process of time, he said, guys, take note. He said, let me tell you this. If the word is not painting the pictures, it means I'm not giving it enough attention. He said, I began to mutter it again. And what happened? In a space of 2 to 3 weeks, I began to see myself alive. I began to see myself living again. I began to see life began to come into me. I began to see myself living. Those things began to be reversed. And how did it happen? I took the word and began to mutter it to myself. See, if you're weary, that's why we have cells. Sometimes the thing is too much. You go there to generate power, to persevere. That's why we have cells. That's why we meet every day. We go, you join, we pray together, you get strength again, you go back to look at it again. You go again, you get strength, you go back to look at it again. But let me tell you something, nothing substitutes you. Seeing from the scriptures what God has shown you. What you are doing in the cells is not trying to control your life, it is helping your joy. So you have to be seeing certain things that we're doing are generating power for you to go and fulfill what God has shown you as a person. Let's understand that. So that is what this thing is about. See, that is true Christianity. If not, we'll just be jumping around. Let's understand that's what the Holy Ghost has come to reveal the word to us. Revelation is the priceless possession of the Christian. And you have to treat it like a treasure. That's your treasure. It's not your bank account. It's not your career. That's your treasure. The word of God is your treasure. And any man that gives the word that place, God is following him. He says, I will not leave you until I fulfill it. If you do your part, there is no way it will trigger my part. God is not a man that should lie. He's not respectful of anybody. If today I stop meditating on scriptures, I will end up in a place that I can't even imagine. If today I stop, nobody has power. It is the word that produces the strength. Today I stop giving attention to it, I will end up somewhere I didn't imagine. That's why he says, look, guys, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but encourage, come together to places where people are encouraged to focus on the word. Because you find yourself in a place where you didn't expect. Without the word, you are finished. Honestly. That's why I'm not surprised. Without the word, you're finished. Give yourself a week. So you haven't read the word. You haven't meditated on the word. You will see, you'll be surprised at the emotions that will move in your body. It is the word that makes the difference. Nothing moves without the word. Nothing goes without the word. Nothing happens without the word. And you are different because you are a target. You can go out bare chested. Jesus did not tell Satan, go away, go away, go away. He said, it is written. Your shouting cannot do him anything. It is written. There's nothing he did that he didn't do without. He said, look, the way I perform miracles is I speak the word that the Father shows me. That's the only way miracles can, that's the only way you can overcome the word. Let's go back. The word. You know? And when you begin to meditate on the word, let me tell you a secret. Again, the same thing. The word is deep. It goes deep down into your consciousness and begins to bring out certain things. And you say, I need to show you, discern the thoughts. You will think that you are doing this for this reason. When you begin to meditate on the scriptures, it begins to show you the reason why, that this thing, you are doing it because they told you that you couldn't make it, so you are angry with them and you are trying to prove a point. So I want to correct that thing inside you. That's how powerful it is. It goes to correct the emotions, the thoughts. He descends the thoughts. You're not even conscious of it. It is the most powerful thing. You have to submit yourself to this living word. Take time every day. Even if it's 5 minutes, it's better. As you are, before you take your breakfast, you sit down. The scripture that God has given you personally, you multiply it to you. You read it loud. It says, sons of strangers shall build my walls, and their kings shall minister unto me. You mutter it. You go. Go to work. Come back. A time will come where continuously, David said, I meditate on your precepts all day long. All day long. Say, I meditate on your precepts in the night watches. In fact, God said the minimum requirement is day and night. As from the scriptures I've seen. See, he meditates on it day and night, told Joshua. So see, that is one scripture. More time to yourself, meditate on it. And the word will give birth. See, if you are struggling with prayer, the word will give birth to your prayer life. The word will give birth to your power over sin. The word will give birth to your righteousness conscience. The word will give birth to everything you want in your life. It's the word. It's the word. So just understand that. And it is not just for miracles, fire brigade miracles. It is a lifestyle. So you take the seed of the kingdom regarding everything you're doing. You ask God, what is the seed? Because he says, you know what he said, you and your generation will be blessed. You know that scripture? He said, you and your seed. So it's not just for you. And what enters into you regarding your future generations and it lights on your children forever. He says, this issue is settled forever in the life of my children. That's how powerful it is. That's why he will fight tooth and nail to make sure you are distracted. And let me tell you something. The working of the word is completely contrary and different from what's going on the outside. The word might have reached a point, don't be discouraged, where it has reached the point where it is just at the verge of breaking into the natural, and everything in the natural will be exactly the same, even worse. Even worse, he will put pressure on the outside. You will see, listen, he will put pressure on the outside to the point where you think, that is the point where it's about to break in. Yes. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived at all. The man at Lystra, God told me, he said, the man looked the same. The man was still crippled. Not what was happening. Paul said, I perceive that there's something about to break forth in this man. He said, take this action now. As soon as he did it, something happened. If I just sat down there, that would have been it. Jesus Christ, he said, Jesus Christ died. He rose. He was buried. He was there in the grave. Someone would have thought that. But he died now. He was punished. He was beat. So he said, that's enough. You might have been going through some things that they've shamed you. It looks like shame in your life. You say, okay, the resurrection is come. The resurrection is here. They have to take it further. They put you on the cross. He said, okay, now, from this cross, God is going to be. They have to take it further. They take it to the grave. So he said, the condition of the outside went worse and worse and worse till it was buried. The resurrection is not, you see, the power of God has no respect for the external circumstance. When he was buried, the power now came and quickened him. Let's understand that the outside condition might look worse, but you might be at the point where that break is about to take place. That's Satan's decoy. So people are carried away by the wind and the waves. Just keep your eyes on that word. Keep your eyes on it. Keep your eyes on it. And God will do it. But it's not your duty to manifest it. It's your duty to give it attention and to rejoice as he shows you and to act. His duty is to manifest it and to create the opportunities. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we bless your name. We thank you for your word. We make a decision today by the help of your spirit to give ourselves to the authenticity of your word. Father, we submit ourselves afresh to your word. That, Father, you will help us to be doers of your word. You will help us to sit still and meditate on your word. That you will show us great and mighty things that we do not know of. We thank you, Father. We receive the grace today in the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen.